Jesse Rogers. I'm Adam Abdallah. Hey there, buddy. We're in for Carmen and Yurko today. It's 4th of July weekend here. It is the NBA trade or not trade deadline. Free agency has started. Zach LaVine has signed his max deal. Shams Charania reported just before 11 a.m. that NBA All-Star Zach LaVine has agreed to a five-year, $215.2 million maximum contract to return to the Chicago Bulls with a player option in year five. So Zach LaVine is a Bull. If you were worried for about 18 hours there, if you couldn't sleep last night waiting for Zach LaVine to sign his max deal, he signed his max deal.
I wish I liked Zach LaVine more as a player, as a person.
That's
he
on
seems
you.
Great.
That's
I,
on you.
I wish, like, they're investing in this guy, max money. He's here. He's part of the nucleus. I wish I was, like, in love with this guy. You know, I don't know how else to say it. I'm not the biggest fan. I think there's people in my category as well. But I get this was the best thing they could do for their team moving forward.
Yeah, look.
In the near future, for sure.
There's only so many superstars in the league. Right? There's only a handful.
I like what the caller said. Sorry to interrupt. He's an all-star, maybe not a superstar.
He's not a superstar.
Okay, good.
He's not a superstar.
You weren't going that way.
No,
right.
I'm not. I'm not saying, I've never said he's a superstar.
Okay, good.
He's an all-star. He is a star in this league. He is someone who is unique. He needs someone else.
Yeah.
But everybody needs someone else. I mean, Damian Lillard has been out there in Portland by himself for years.
Right.
And hasn't won anything. Like, C.J. McCollum was nice, but...
Would you put Lillard in the same class as LaVine?
No, Lillard's a superstar.
Superstar, okay.
Lillard's a superstar.
Because that's the thing. If you're a superstar, you may attract a superstar. It's like a supermodel attracting Brad Pitt. It works.
Yeah.
If you're a superstar, but that's my point here. Does Zach attract Durant the same way Booker would attract Durant?
Well, I mean...
Or even Butler.
Well, it's also a matter of, does this team have enough money? What do they have to move around to get me there?
I get all that, but I'm saying superstars attract superstars. I'm not sure if we're agreeing LaVine's not. Do stars attract superstars? Maybe. I don't know.
Well, look, I think when you're a superstar, you have the mentality of how can this guy elevate my game, right? How does this guy complement my game? And I think when you look at Kevin Durant and how he compares to Zach LaVine, obviously Durant's better than LaVine, but would Durant put this team over? I think he would.
Oh yeah, I think he
would. Obviously, you'd have to give up a lot,
right?
But then it's on AK and Mark Eversley to kind of fill those gaps
in. Right, that's what it is. Filling in gaps with a true superstar, decent all-star, and an aging star. I
and
guess you could
Zach
call
Zach LaVine
DeRozan.
Is that all-star. That would complement a superstar. So where do you rank the Bulls now in the East, now that the dust is kind of settling on free agency, minus the Durant trade, which could affect, you know, the Heat or affect Phoenix? It might not affect the East, but it affects the hierarchy of the NBA, and it could, if he gets traded to the Heat, affect the hierarchy of the East. Where do you put the Bulls? 312-332-3776. Scott's in Woodridge. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Yeah, I think you're overrating the Bulls. I mean, they have an aging roster. They're not good defensively. They don't shoot the three real well. Getting Drummond doesn't make a lot of sense to me because he clogs up the middle. Yes, he protects the rim a little bit, but he's kind of slow. Vooch is not a great defender at all inside. I mean, I think even in their division, you got the Bucks. I think the Hawks have a younger upcoming roster. I even think the Cavs have a roster that has a lot of young talent that's going to get better. So I'm not sure I agree with you that and Philly, I mean, they haven't even got a second round, so putting them equal with the Bucks, I don't think so.
Well, no, Adam wasn't doing that, but he was possibly putting them equal with the Celtics and the Heat, and I still have my doubts about that.
I wouldn't put them with the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics found a legit point guard. They're pretty much a complete team right now without having a true superstar. Like, my point is superstar, and Scott, thank you for the call.
What's
appreciate
Tatum?
It. Tatum's not a superstar.
He's
a really good all-star.
Would you rather have Tatum or LaVine?
That's a good... probably Tatum.
Okay, good.
My point is this. Like, when you think of superstar, to me, and I know you have to be an amazing player in the NBA to be considered a superstar, but when a superstar comes to your city, are you paying to go see them? And I know that's a weird way to think of a superstar, right? But when Jimmy Butler goes to Denver, are they paying to see Jimmy Butler? Like, to me, that kind of makes you a superstar. Like, I'm not gearing up to go to the United Center to see Jason Tatum. You know, Damian Lillard comes to town. I'm going to see Dame.
Hmm. Here's the other thing, too. Like, Tatum wasn't even the best player on his own team in the finals.
No, he was bad. He wasn't great in the finals. He was very inconsistent. So, Jaylen Brown was great.
Like, Durant and Kyrie come to town with the Nets. I'm going to go see Durant and Kyrie.
No, some are easy.
Joel Embiid comes to town. I'm going to see Joel Embiid. Jokic comes to town. I'm going to see Jokic.
Okay, so looking at the other, well, just confirms our point. If LaVine is going to Oklahoma City, are you paying to go? No.
No,
so
you're not.
There's very few you would.
Exactly.
When you put
That's why I think there are very few superstars in the NBA.
Yeah.
There's probably 7 or 8 superstars that people.
Morant now is one.
Morant.
I think people would pay to see Trae Young.
Trae Young is probably up there. Okay. I would say Kawhi when he's healthy is a superstar for sure. I mean, obviously Durant. Obviously,
I wonder if we're selling Tatum short. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert enough to know. He certainly wasn't great in the finals. You might be right. You might be right. In any case, we both agree LaVine isn't that guy.
Correct.
The Bulls don't have one of those guys. No. It'd be nice to get one of those guys.
Yeah.
And one of them is available.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you've got guys that you can try to move. And we always say this every single time. Well, you got to wait for that disgruntled superstar. You got to wait for that disgruntled superstar. Because the way the money works
now. How about drafting one?
Well, but then you have to be really bad.
I know.
Or you have to get lucky.
Lucky, very lucky.
Like you have to get, like Donovan Mitchell, is Donovan Mitchell a superstar?
Just below.
Okay, so, but he's a guy that you would want on your team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So to me, you've got, that takes either bottoming out or getting lucky. And, or you have to acquire the next disgruntled guy. And there will always be the next disgruntled guy. We didn't think Durant was going to be available. Durant was saying, I might want to trade, or the reports were that I might want to trade if Kyrie leaves the Nets. If you don't give Kyrie the max, or if you don't give Kyrie this, I might. And then Kyrie's like, you know what? I'm opting in.
I still want to trade.
And he's like, yeah, about that. I'm going to leave. Or I want out. So you never know when this is going to happen, and you have to be prepared for it.
It feels like it's the same disgruntled superstar almost every couple years, KD.
Well, yeah, KD, listen. KD, I always thought KD and Kyrie were made for each other.
Yeah,
they're both out there when it comes to their views.
It's just going
to
be so interesting what the Nets do with Kyrie, with Simmons. Like, is there any package deal that is going to be forced upon another team? I mean, this is all pretty fascinating. Or are they just moving him and keeping the others? I can't see that happening.
I don't know. It's probably going to have to be a couple teams involved, and who knows when this could take place, because it's a matter of the Nets are rumored to want two superstars in return, which you're not going to get. You're probably just going to get a haul of draft picks and maybe a couple decent players, but who knows when this is going to take place. Barry's in the South Loop. What's up, Barry?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hold on one second. I want to make sure I'm not getting you back feet or whatever.
No, you're good. We can hear you. No problem.
Okay, so what I wanted to say, your previous caller said that the Bulls were older team. Would you remove Vooch? And maybe DeRozan, they're probably one of the younger teams with a great nucleus. But he also made the comment about their defense wasn't that great. We got to remember that Caruso and Ball were pretty much on the injury shelf, you know, the last, you know, quarter of the season and everything else. And had we had them on the team, things would have been a lot different. If you look at that defense the first part of the year, especially the front part of the ball court, it was a big difference. So I'm excited to have Drummond here because he can make his own shot. He's a physical presence, something that we don't have. He's a gangster down below. You know, people aren't just going to be running into the hole. If we get this guy, Gallinari, you know, we'll have a knockdown three-point shooter. And to me, you know, as far as KD, I know everybody is crazy about, you know, bringing KD here and what he brings. You know, but there's also something that comes with that superstar. And is he going to wind up being a cancer, you know, to the locker room and destroy some other people's growth?
No. First of all, no one has ever referred to KD that way. He may seem like a guy that's bounced around, but everyone has said good things about him.
You know, it was like that. It was Jimmy Butler. It was like that. There was the Butler and Wade contingent, and then everybody else. Like,
yeah, but the Bulls were kind of toxic in their own
and
way.
Also, sorry, Barry, but Danilo Gallinari is signing with the Celtics.
Kevin Durant is just going to make other people better. He's not going to make
absolutely.
Them worse. I mean,
that's not an issue. From what you've heard, he's a good teammate.
That's what I'm saying.
What you've heard from his teammates is that he's a good player. Now, does he have
burners? He's turning into a little bit of a mercenary. Okay, you know, the old school fan is going to criticize that. He's jumping around. But whatever. Once he's on your team, you're going to like him.
When you're the best player in the NBA, or one of the best players in the NBA, and you have one ring, and it happens to be because of the Warriors, that probably starts to weigh on you.
Not just
people are saying, hey, you only won because you went to the Warriors.
And it's not just that. The game in the league has changed. The point is this. If the Nets would say, no chance, we're not moving you, you need to retire or play with us, that might be a different story. You know? Mm-hmm. But the league has changed. You can dictate where you play. So the fact that you can, why wouldn't you use that if you don't like where you are?
Yeah.
There was a day where you couldn't do that, but now you can. Yeah. And they're going to accommodate him. And it's going to be a team he probably wants to go to. Why not use that power if you can? I mean, Eli Manning used that power back in the day. It was just few and far between back then, and you were shamed a little but there's nothing shameful about jumping around.
But you're seeing it more and more in the NFL, too. We're seeing the disgruntled wide receiver, and you're seeing all these wide receivers now.
Debo Samuel,
who is reporting to camp, so we don't. That probably gets worked out. But DK Metcalf, who I want the Bears to go trade for, is still another day goes by, and the Bears have not traded for DK Metcalf.
Oh, I'd go pick him up at the airport myself.
I'd drive him cross country. Can you imagine?
See those throws, Fields to Metcalf?
Come on, Jesse. Could you imagine the content we could generate if I was driving DK Metcalf across the country? We're stopping at diners and solving mysteries and whatnot.
Would have it live the whole time? I mean, my God.
So you can go do this, and now you see it in the NFL more, where players are like, hey, pay me, and NFL teams are like, nah, we're good.
So
and
that's what I'm sort of saying. Don't be critical of KD for jumping around. It's just the way things work these days, and the teams allow it, the league allows it. Let's just hope he lands here, and you'll enjoy it.
It's going to take a haul, or at least hope the Bulls do something and try to maybe end up getting Rudy Gobert or whatever. Or maybe if this – what could also happen, Jesse, here is Durant gets traded – and the Nets have to blow it up, and there's a two- or three-team deal or whatever, and there's all these other pieces that are now available, and the Bulls can go in and maybe work a deal for someone on one of these other teams.
Right.
And you just kind of hope that they're aggressive, that AK and Mark Eversley are constantly on the phone in the next few days, and hopefully while you're barbecuing or doing whatever over 4th of July, you get that nice ESPN update that something has happened. 312-332-3776.
At the very least, they're going to be better than the Nets.
I mean,
which could have been in doubt if everybody came back.
Bluff and you're like, hey, guess what? We're not trading you. You better play. You want to try to win a ring this year with Kyrie? So you might want to play.
Let me ask you this, something crazy. I don't know their situation. I barely know their players. Would Atlanta try to pair him with Trae Young? Could they do something crazy? I'm thinking of a mystery team.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they have enough. I have to look at what their assets are going forward. But I know that, I mean, the Bulls don't have a first-round pick this year. So that automatically might
puts them behind the eight ball. I was just thinking of teams that we wouldn't think of that have a star. And certainly Trae Young qualifies.
Trae Young for Durant.
Okay, all right. All right, Charlie.
Not happening.
All right, three-team deal. Trae, Durant come to the Bulls. The Bulls send LaVine to the Nets. And the Nets send Kyrie to the... Jesse, you were at the ballpark today getting ready for Cubs and Red Sox.
About 3 years ago, it would have been a great matchup.
I know. I'll give you 2 minutes to tell us about it next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's Abdallah and Jesse here in for Carmen and Yurko. The guys are off for the 4th of July weekend. Cubs and Red Sox about to start here. And you've got a good matchup 3 years ago. But
Ten years ago on the mound, Rich Hill.
it doesn't really matter, Jesse, because I live in the neighborhood. You were up there earlier today. I mean, this is the most lively I think I've seen the neighborhood. And, you know, people coming in and going downtown because we're here 190 North State Street in our beautiful First Midwest Bank State Street Studios. And when I get off the train to come in here, that's when people that come into town from the suburbs are getting on the Red Line to go to Addison.
Took the Red Line past Addison yesterday, and this is for the Reds.
Yeah.
It was jam-packed.
It was a beautiful day yesterday.
Wrigley, you know, it sells itself. Maybe not 40,000 every day during the summer with this team, but there will be a lot of Red Sox fans. Braves fans travel well. They were here a couple weeks ago. Red Sox fans travel well, so there will be a lot there. But it's a holiday weekend. They're going to draw.
They put up 15 runs yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. There's tons of holes, but if you can buy into this rebuild, at least you're identifying people. Christopher Morel's a player. went 5 for 5 yesterday.
Yeah.
And all he's done is show us that he can play at the major league level. There's one. Keegan Thompson's pitched well. There's two. Justin Steele's pitched well. There's three. Suzuki, we know, is a major league player. He's been out for a long time, but there's four. Ian Happ has turned into a major league player. Legit, there's five. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how these guys are going to perform when the pressure's on in coming years, but all we can do is judge them off of this year. And within one first half of a rebuild, I think they've identified four or five guys that can be here for the future. I didn't even mention Nico Horner, who, if you don't like Nico Horner, you don't like baseball. He's a grinder. He's a hard worker. He's hitting over 300. He makes the most of his abilities. Not a power hitter. He doesn't necessarily scream at you as a great shortstop, yet he has played great shortstop. I don't know. If you buy the rebuild, it's not so bad. Not so bad. Now, they got to move it along. Let's say you keep all those pieces next year. Sign this guy. Sign that guy. You got to find pitching. That's the key. They've identified a couple young guys, but not nearly enough to be competitive.
But
so maybe you have to go buy pitching.
But are these guys the next Bryant, the next Schwarber, the next Rizzo, the next Baez?
Christopher Morel is the first player at 23 years or younger to get 5 hits since Sean Dunstan in 1986. So they're already, he did something, Bryant and Schwarber, and those guys. I'm not saying for sure, but maybe they're the next, you know, group of long-term starters there. Yes, you would like to have a perennial MVP candidate, but Morel's already done things. Suzuki started the season that way. I'm just saying, if you have to show me a rebuild, I'm seeing talent quicker than I thought I would. I didn't know that Justin Steele would be a major league pitcher or Keegan Thompson. They're showing me something. Now, again, in a contending situation, pressure on, who knows? This is all we can go off of right now. But you can't wait 3 or 4 years. You better move this thing along. But I like these individual names. At least, look, if Hayward was having some great year, what would it mean for the next decade? Nothing. The guys that you want to see perform are actually performing.
Mm-hmm.
Not every single one, but a bunch of them. Am I wrong here? Am I being
I don't think so. No, I don't think
you have to buy into the rebuild, though.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't. Listen, I think Cubs fans just want to see. They want to see the same kind of production and the same kind of guys as Bryant and Rizzo and Schwarber.
They want to see emerging stars.
Yeah, yeah. You want to see the guys that you're like, oh man, they're bringing up Bryant. Like you remember the hype around
he was a no-brainer.
But when Cubs fans think rebuild, that's what they want to see.
Yeah,
as it's 1-0 Red Sox already here for Cubs and Red Sox.
Well, they're pitching Adrian Sampson. I mean, that's the problem. They don't have enough on the mound. I keep mentioning Steele and Thompson, purposely avoiding the rest of that staff. It's not great. Yeah. Hendricks will give you a good start here and there. It's a lot of work to do, but at least they're identifying pieces. I don't know what Morel's going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's amazing so far. So maybe he is this perennial all-star in the making. I don't know. At least he's got the tools. And I'll tell you, scouts love him. Scouts love Morel. And I never heard that about Happ. You know, I didn't hear that about some guys coming up. Scouts love Morel. There's a lot of tools there. So anyway.
And that is Cubs Corner here on Carmen and Yurko. We give Jesse 2 minutes to talk about the Cubs as the Cubs are losing to the Red Sox 1-0 in the top of the first. We go to FedEx Herald. He's in Skokie. What's up, FedEx Herald?
What's going on, man? So I have two players in mind, actually, the Bulls could probably consider in bringing, because, I mean, I look at the first half of last year, you know, the defense was actually stepping up for the Bulls, and into the second half of the season, the defense just fell off, but also as a shooting as well. And I feel like this team needs shooters. You know, what about the Martin brothers, you know, Cody or Caleb? Caleb had a good, decent playoff, you know. And, again, as far as looking at their status, too, they're, you know, about a good 40% three-point shooting, man. But, you know, I mean, they'll come in as in probably, like, you know, a one-year deal. But I want to hear your thoughts on those two players. But, again, because – I mean, we just need shooters, you know. And I wanted Patty Mills. I'm not going to lie. Patty Mills was my favorite to go after. But
big
what
fan.
A coincidence he ended up staying with the Nets, man. But, again, I want to hear your thoughts about the brothers, man. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
I'll let you
thanks,
take that appreciate one, it. Well, I mean, look, these are two guys that they both shoot around 40% from three. I mean, they're only giving you about 10 points a game. Caleb gave you 9 points per game last year. Cody gave you 7 or around 8 points per game. So they're both giving you around 10 points per game. But yeah, you need someone who can shoot threes and also play defense. And those are nice role players. Again, that's nice. It's nice role players. And that's fine. They need better
go-to guys.
Yeah, they really need a star three-point shooter.
Yep.
Lonzo can be that if
he's healthy.
Yeah, right. And I love Lonzo. I loved Lonzo's decision-making.
Yeah.
Which you want out of your point guard, but also just his decision-making on his shooting, on his three-point shooting, for example. They were the fourth best three-point shooting team by percentage, but took the least amount of attempts. Look, I watched Grayson Allen closely in that first round. If they could bottle that guy in that first round, and he's someone like that for 82, that's the kind of a guy you want, just banging these open threes, banging threes with a guy on you. Now, he wasn't as good after that, but that's why I like Patty Mills, too. I think he could have done that as well. So
absolutely.
It feels a little like, you know, they're treading water a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Jesse, we are 26 days away from the Bears reporting to training camp. July 26th is when the Bears report. Their first practice Wednesday, July 27th. And you know what that means. That means the ESPN Chicago Football Fest is right around the corner. It is the official kickoff to the football season. It is ESPN Chicago's biggest event of the year. We do a lot of events here. We do a ton of events. We do the golf outing. You know, we do the holiday parody song contest with Waddle and Sylvie. You know, the guys are out and about, whether it's Carmen Yurko, Cap and Jay Hood, Waddle, Sylvie. Bleck and I are out for Chicago's College Tailgate. But there, at those places, you only get to see one show at a time. Mm-hmm. When you are out at the ESPN Chicago Football Fest, we are all there. Every single show is out there. Peggy and Dion are going to be doing their show from out there. Carmen, Chris, and I are going to be doing a gambling panel. There's going to be fantasy football with Field Yates. There's going to be tons of football content there. It is the biggest event of the year, and it's free. It's free this year. All you have to do is register at ESPNChicagoFootballFest.com. The doors open at 10 a.m. on Saturday, August 20th. Put it in your calendar right now. Saturday, August 20th at Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Just go register. Go right now, ESPNFootballFest.com, and register there. It's free, like I said. It's going to be all of our ESPN Chicago talent. Like I mentioned, we're going to be talking Bears, betting, fantasy football, everything football related. We will be discussing it and talking about it, hanging out with you. And also, it's at a casino, so I'm going to be playing some blackjack. Like that's.
I'm going to be in like a phone booth for baseball betting advice. For people.
We're just going to project you onto the screen for baseball updates every once in a while. You need to be 21 years or older to attend because it is at a casino after all. And trust me, more guests are going to be announced soon, and you do not want to miss this. Some great guests are going to be involved. It is going to be an amazing event. So August 20th, football season is just around the corner. So make sure you register ESPNFootballFest.com. Coming up next, Jesse, it is the 4th of July. And when you think of 4th of July, you think of fireworks, you think of barbecue, and you think of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And we don't get to talk to goats all the time, like the greatest.
This is the
like
goat.
How many times has Michael Jordan been on this radio station?
Zero.
Tom Brady, how many times has he been on this radio station? Wayne Gretzky has been on this radio station a couple times. That I do know. Tiger Woods, how many times?
Mike Trout, zero.
No, yeah, zero, exactly. But you know who has been on this radio station? Joey Chestnut, the greatest competitive eater of all time. Chris and I got a chance to talk to him yesterday. You will hear that as it's summer. It's the 4th of July.
I thought Yurko was the greatest competitive eater, but Joey Chestnut's right up there.
I mean, if it was a long contest, if it was like over time, maybe. But speed eating, Joey Chestnut's the best. We'll talk to him next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
It's Abdallah and Jesse in for Carmen and Yurko today. It is 4th of July weekend, and nothing says 4th of July more than the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, stuffing a bunch of encased meat into your mouth at a high rate of speed. We talked to Joey Chestnut yesterday. Bleck and I did. He holds the record at 76 hot dogs. He's competing on Monday in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. You can watch it on ESPN. Make sure you check that out. And I started the interview by asking him, it's fight week for you, essentially. This is the biggest competition of the year for you. How do you feel going into Monday?
Doing pretty good. I'm just, I'm in New York getting amped up, and I'll be ready to eat on Monday.
Hey, Joey, how does that make you feel that, like, when people think of the 4th of July weekend and the holiday, that
They think of the contest, the hot dog eating contest, but mainly because you've dominated the eating world for so long, they mainly envision you holding up the championship belt and shoving hot dogs in your mouth. Like, how does that make you feel that, like, you are an icon when it comes to thinking about, like, modern times in this holiday, the 4th of July?
Oh, it's wild. I love 4th of July, and the fact that I can't believe I'm part of so many people's 4th of July, and I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna be hungry, and I'm gonna push it to the limit, and I'm gonna do it.
So it's Thursday now. What do the next couple days look like for you prepping for this event? Because I've gotten a lot of questions. Well, like, does he eat a lot before this to make sure the stomach is stretched out? Does he eat nothing to make sure he's hungry for this event? Like, it's only 10 minutes long, but you're eating a lot of food. How do you prepare your body for what is going to take place here in a couple days on Monday?
It's almost a mix of all that. So I did my last practice on Tuesday. I'm recovering. I'm feeling really good about the recovery from that last practice. I'll start fasting on Saturday, or do a cleanse before the contest on Monday. So I'm going to go in absolutely loose and empty. I'll drink liquids during that time, and I'll make sure that, I want to be able to suck in my stomach on Monday morning and be like, all right, there's room for 75, 79 hot dogs. It's a lot of going in loose and empty, but also, once a week, I've been practicing, making sure that my capacity and my body has a tolerance to take in a ridiculous amount of hot dogs.
Joey, take us into the training. What does it mean when you practice, when you train? Like, what specifically are you doing to prepare for an event like this?
Oh, so there's full on practices, hot dog eating, and so I'm plating hot dogs on plates of five hot dogs. Eating for a 10 minute practice contest, then catching my breath, and then trying to eat some more afterwards to push my limits, and then the whole recovery process in preparation for my next practice the next week. When I was younger, I could do a practice every third day, roughly. Sure. Now I'm older, so it's easier to gain the weight. It's harder to lose it. So I have to do a practice every 6 or 7 days, and which is all right. I know my body better, and I'm able to push it even a little bit farther than I used to.
Can you only practice for one food at a time, or can you kind of mix it up in your training?
A lot of it's building the tolerance and making your body feel comfortable with that food. So you have to practice. I have to get the right hot dogs, very similar buns to what I've been doing eating for the contest. Sometimes sometimes in June, I'll do another contest, and I'll take a little bit of time off of practicing for hot dogs, which is good sometimes because it trains the other muscles a little bit, gets those other muscles a little bit stronger. But for the most part, if I'm eating hot dogs or I'm training with hot dogs, if I'm eating donuts, I'm gonna be eating a lot of donuts in practice.
Well, none of us are getting any younger. Have you scaled back your competitions? Are you going to just limit yourself to a few a year? How are you adjusting to competitive eating as your body gets older?
I am being a little bit more selective. I'm making sure that I'm doing contests that are absolutely important to me, whether it's the food or whether it's the event or the location. Because I get to travel around the world, eat, and a lot of times it's good food, and then I get to beat people. So if I can do the location, the food, the competition I like, there are some that get eliminated if it's a place I don't like or a food I don't like, but I still love it, and there's lots of contests for me still to do, and I'm healthy. I can keep it up for a while, I hope.
Joey, when you look at the competition that's out there, maybe the younger guys getting into the game, are they doing anything technique-wise that you look at and you say, man, I don't know if I can keep up, but I'm sure going to try, and wow, I didn't think of doing it that way. Is there anything new that you're seeing younger generations of eaters bring to the table?
Not too much. Just recently, though, there's a new guy, James Webb, out of Australia. And this guy, he's super fit. He's taller than me. And so he has this long torso, and he has a really good capacity. And I've seen some of his videos, and this guy can eat. and he's hungry. I remember he's younger, so he's just he's doing tons of he's a beast. So I know there's guys out there who are going to push themselves, and if I get lazy, they're looking for me to get lazy and hopefully capitalize on it. But I'm watching them, and I'm staying hungry.
So it's not like the older generation of NBA players like Shaq and
just crapping
Barkley,
on the younger
just
guys,
crushing on the guys that are shooting threes. You're like, these damn kids are coming up here and trying to take my title. This is ridiculous.
No, I appreciate it. It shouldn't be a cakewalk for me. It wouldn't be competitive eating if I had no competition. And I like that these guys are coming out there and putting it all online. They're eating until they're in tears, trying to keep up with me. And that's one of the reasons why I love it. I love the competition.
So I'm counting here, and this might not be updated, but according to the list that I have in front of me, you have 22 records. Is that correct?
Oh, I think I have more than that.
Okay.
I think there's
well, someone's got to update this list then.
They need to update that. I think it's like 40 something.
Oh man. Okay.
That's awesome.
There's
a bunch of them in there.
What is your least favorite food to eat? And do you eat a food for one of these competitions where you're like, I really hate that, but I know I can crush this record and I just want it on the resume, so I'm just going to eat it regardless?
Yeah, so that exactly that. There was a brain taco eating contest.
And they
were gnarly. They looked like brains, but it was at an awesome zombie pub crawl in Minnesota, and it was a great party. So I was like, I wanted to go to that event, but I had to eat brain tacos, and I was watching the guy next to me, and I just ate one more than him. But usually it's the sponsors are a food company or somebody who really wants to promote something, and they do a really good job with the food, even if it's a food I don't like, or I'm not familiar with. It's usually done in a way that's pretty tasty, and I can eat it. I'm trying to think of something I didn't like. I was in Miami eating the new one, croquetas, I'd never had before, and it was the first time I'd gone to a contest without trying the food, and I absolutely loved it. It was deep fried mashed potatoes with ham in there. It was delicious.
Yeah,
I try to stay away from foods I won't like unless there's a really good reason.
You know, most people that tune in, Joey, they're going to watch the hot dog eating contest on ESPN, the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. You can watch it live on ESPN News and ESPN3 at 11 a.m. on Monday, the 4th of July. There will be a re-air on ESPN at 3 o'clock. And then also the women's contest will be live on ESPN3 at 9:45. Joey, when people tune in and they're not familiar with the techniques, they're probably going to say, why are they dipping the hot dogs into water before consuming them? Can you educate why that happened, who did it first, where it came from, and why competitive eaters like yourself dip the hot dogs in the water before you eat it?
Yeah, well, eating bread fast is hard. You're eating slowly, slow enough to produce enough saliva to help swallow the bread. But in a contest, it's just not happening. So back in the 90s, there were a couple of Japanese champions who were the first people to start dunking the buns in water. And it sped it up so fast. It's kind of gross and ugly, but it's the only way you can eat bread really, really fast. And as long as the competitor is not making a mess and eating all the bun, they're going to get credit for the full hot dog and bun as long as they eat both. So it's progressed over the years. We use warm water. It helps relax your muscles in your stomach and also helps break down the food a little bit faster. We're skipping more steps with making it easier to digest the food. The wet bun, it's rough. It's not the normal way. It's hard. You have to get it's a weird. I remember when I first started doing the contest, I was like, I'm not going to dip the bun in water. And then I tried it. I was like, whoa, it's gross, but it's fast. And sure. It's how bad do you want to win? You got to get over that soggy bun.
So let's say you're at a baseball game or something else where you're just eating a normal amount of hot dogs and not trying to hit 79 or 80 or whatever it is, however many your goal is to eat this weekend. How many will you normally eat? And it's Chicago, so I have to ask you this. What are you putting on your hot dogs?
Oh, my God. I love it. Well, I always, whenever I'm in Chicago, I have to have a Chicago dog with everything, drag it through the sink. But my normal way is it's just simple, a spicy mustard and raw onions. I'm really simple, and I'm gonna go through. Oh my God, yeah, and I'm not gonna eat 20 hot dogs, but I'm probably gonna eat 7 or 8 hot dogs if I'm at a baseball game. I'm eating hot dogs and beer, and I'm enjoying it.
Do you ever walk into a place and people don't know who you are and you're about to sit down and eat something and you're like, these people are in for a show tonight. They don't know what they're getting into at this restaurant.
They're like, oh my, look at him. He's got 17 tacos.
There's been times where I go to a restaurant and they have like a challenge that nobody ever completes. And I order it and they're like, nobody, you're like, oh, you're paying for that. I was like, oh, I think it's free if I finish it. And they're like, nobody ever finishes it. And they have no idea. But that's all right. But usually if it's a restaurant that they have decent food, they recognize me pretty quick. And it's a good time.
Oh, yeah. How can they not? I mean, I've seen SportsCenter graphics where your name is up there with the all-time greats in all of sports. How does that make you feel when you see champions from the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, and then your face is on a graphic on SportsCenter? What does that make you feel?
It's ridiculous. It's fun. I think some people it makes some people mad. Like, oh, it's eating, but I'm pretty lighthearted about the whole thing. I love the competition. I love that. I can't believe I've been carrying on this long, and I'm still healthy, and I'm able to. And it's still fun. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. And I'm just having fun with it. And I'm just riding this crazy wave.
We're talking with Joey Chestnut here on Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Joey, take us back to when this kind of started, because like I can think back to being like a teenager and being able to crush like 14 Taco Bell tacos, like the hard shell tacos, and like thinking like that was impressive. When you were younger, was there anything that you would do as like a teenager and be like, oh yeah, that's no case. I crave case. I can take down the whole thing. Was there anything when you were younger that you kind of did that you look back at and say, well, that was foreshadowing to what I do now?
It was me and my little brother versus the two older brothers and pretty much everything. And the only thing we could do more than beat them at it was eating. My mom would make huge things of spaghetti and pasta, and we could always eat more pasta than them, and spaghetti meatballs, and to the point where my mom would end up getting mad at us for eating too much. And as I got older, I was like, oh man, I'm a fast eater. And when I was in college, I was aware that I could eat more than everybody, and so I had to always kind of hold back. And then I went to my first contest, and I was 21. And as soon as I got on stage, I was like, "Oh my God, I was made for this! I don't have to hold back anymore. I can push it to the limit." And I fell in love with competitive eating as soon as I did the first contest, and it just snowballed into this crazy thing.
I'm absolutely looking for an edge here because it is the 4th of July and there's nothing more traditional in America now than gambling, of course. The over-under for total hot dogs eaten is 74.5. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that you're going to hit the over, right?
Oh, there's nothing safe these days. It's you never know. I've had some bad practices this year, and I've had some great ones. If it's too hot out, there's a chance the conditions could slow me down. I've predicted the over sometimes, and when I don't hit it, I feel like a jerk. Everybody knows I'm going to be pushing as hard as I can.
Oh, absolutely. But do you think about beating the record, or are you just thinking about beating the person who's eating right next to you?
I'm trying to beat everybody, so I'm aware of what they're doing. I can hear their numbers, but I'm trying to maintain. I'm making adjustments while I'm eating, either taking a little bit smaller bite. If my my throat's getting tired, if my jaws are getting tired, I'm taking a little bit bigger bite so that I can swallow it. I'm not using my jaws as much. I'm trying to just remember during the contest. I'm just trying to remember all the little things. Don't forget to breathe. There's so many times when you're eating, you hold your breath, and then all of a sudden you're winded and you have to breathe through your mouth. So I just got to try to maintain my rhythm and don't screw up. Stay hungry.
You know, when we watch it, there's so much commotion going on stage. Obviously, all the competitors next to you, and then they're calling out the numbers. There's the crowd, everything taking place. Do you go into like a zone where you are, as you just kind of listed off the different things you think about, does everything else just kind of melt away as you're eating going through this because you're so focused?
It's, sometimes the contest feels super, super fast. And other times it's longer. It feels longer if things aren't working right. When I'm in that perfect zone, it's like I'm time traveling for the first 7 minutes, and then the last 3 minutes, I'm working my butt. I'm feeling bloated. My muscles are getting tired. And I'm listening to the crowd, and I'm just trying to push it. Try to get close to that record. Those last 3 minutes are probably the hardest of the contests.
You mentioned some other competitions, obviously having the 40 some odd records. What's after the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest? What's the next month or so look like for you?
Oh, next big contest. I'll be eating Raising Cane's chicken fingers.
Nice.
In Vegas.
Do they make you use the sauce too, or is it just the fingers?
I think I'll have the choice of using the sauce too. So I'm going to be going for a record 5 minutes. I'm hoping I can get at least 50 in 5 minutes. But some of those things are delicious, but a little bit big. I'm hoping I can do it.
That's Joey Chestnut. Make sure you check out the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on Monday on ESPN. We'll talk to Mike North and get his bonus plays for the weekend, and we'll crosstalk with Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3Chi. That's the number 3CHI, the leader in Delta 8, now Delta 9, and other THC products. Visit 3Chi.com for more info and use promo code ESPN5 for 5% off.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That's right, it's a free ticket Friday here on ESPN Chicago. Be caller 10 right now, and you will win a pair of tickets to Sox and Tigers next Friday, July 8th, next Friday. You can keep winning these tickets if you don't win now on the 50s during Waddle and Sylvie, and it's all brought to you by Miller Lite. It's time for the bonus play. It's the odds couple on Saturday at 8 a.m., but we go to Mike North right now for the bonus play. What's up, Mike?
Look, guys, I know we're under the gun. I once ate 4 beefs, 2 fries, 2 tamales, and 4 milks at Roma's on Cicero, okay,
within
an hour. But it was great to follow up. It was a great interview, guys. And Adam, Jesse, what are you in trouble for? Somebody says you're getting batted around
the corner. I don't know. Anytime I turn on a microphone, I'm in trouble, Mike. You know that. I learned from you.
Well, you better go the other way. But all I'm going to tell you is this, that we had a big winner last week, as you know. We had a ton of runs. We're getting the over and unders lately. And I know we're on limited time, so I'm going to make this simple. D-backs versus Rockies. The over-under is 11 tonight. Merrill Kelly, 6-5, 3.64 ERA versus Antonio Sensatella at 3-4, 4.66. Ladies and gentlemen, happy 4th of July from Pappy, the whole crew at AM1000, Adam and Jesse and Carmen and everybody with the over, ladies and gentlemen. Over 11!
Love the over for the fireworks, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's always fireworks, even if there isn't, fellas.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. We'll be listening tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
All right, guys. Take care.
8 o'clock for the odds couple with Mike North.
Over 11.
Over. I love it. We took the over in the Cubs game. I don't want to jinx it, but it's looking good so far. Don't want to jinx it, though. We'll crosstalk with Sylvie coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.